Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We are beginning in verse 32 as we continue our study of this wonderful historical record of God's work. Acts 9, 32 through 43, this is God's word. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man, Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat." Immediately, Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please, come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, that's pretty remarkable, isn't it? I mean, you've got a miraculous healing of a man who wasn't just, you know, having a tough weekend. He'd been bedridden for years because he was paralyzed. And he's instantly healed. And then you've got a woman who's dead. Doesn't say she was near death. She died. And they washed her corpse and put her in an upper room and sent for Peter. And Peter came, and she was brought back to life. I mean, what are we to think? Is this sort of myth that grew up around Peter? Or is this actually what happened? Well, this is God's word. And God doesn't lie. Well, why haven't I ever seen anything like that? Well, it's a legitimate question. I haven't seen the dead come back to life. And I haven't seen someone who was paralyzed and bedridden for years instantaneously raised up and able to walk. Never seen that. I have seen some other amazing miracles of healing, and I even, in my teen years, experienced an instantaneous supernatural healing. I know that God can heal. I know that God does heal. I know that this is not ordinary. Not supposed to be ordinary. The reason it's recorded here is this was so extraordinary that word spread all around and changed the culture. As we say from time to time, looking at Lazarus and others, Tabitha / Dorcas is not out on the circuit today. Okay? She was brought back, but it wasn't a permanent thing. She died. The fellow who was paralyzed and God healed him died eventually, as you and I will. So what was the purpose of these miracles? The purpose was the spread of the gospel. The purpose was the spread of the gospel. That's still the purpose today. In verse 34, we have a key to the answer regarding how did Peter do this? Verse 34, look at it. Peter said, Jesus Christ heals you. He didn't say, I'm going to heal you. He said, Jesus Christ heals you. We saw this earlier in the book of Acts when Peter was questioned about things that God did through him. He said, this was done by Jesus. We refer to this book as the Acts of the Apostles, and that's a legitimate title. But it's really the Acts of Jesus through the apostles. We just sang about it. Yet not I, but Christ in me. How does this happen? How did Peter do this? He did this the same way that Jesus worked miracles. When Jesus was asked about the things that he did, where did you get this authority? Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. If that's what Jesus said, then wouldn't you say that's why Peter said what he did and did what he did? He wasn't doing whatever came to mind. He wasn't doing whatever he felt like. He didn't meet together with a committee and plan some spectacular events. He did what the Father told him to do. He acted in obedience. And that is when God's power is manifested. We see this over and over and over in the Old Testament as well as the New. One of the most dramatic miracles in the Old Testament is the parting of the Red Sea. Whose idea was that? Well, that was God. And he told Moses, do this. And when Moses obeyed, God performed the miracle. Another wonderful Old Testament miracle, and there, of course, all through the Old Testament, but another one that I love is Elijah on Mount Carmel. Elijah says, we're going to build two altars. You guys pray to Baal, I'm going to pray to God. And when it's time for him to pray to God, he has his altar absolutely drenched in water. And then he prays. And if you look at his prayer, he says, Lord, please do this so that they will know that you are God and so that they will know that everything I've done here has been in obedience to your command. Over and over and over and over, God's power is manifested in obedience. You look at the miracles of Jesus, and over and over and over, he was obeying the Father, and he gave the recipients something to do. Obey, obey, obey. You want to see miracles? Obey. You want God to do something spectacular? Why don't you just do what he told you? Well, but I'm waiting until I see. Obey. That's when we see miracles.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, Peter said in verse 34, Jesus Christ heals you. And the guy was healed. And I like this. It says, get up and take care of your mat. In the ESV, it says, make your bed. I like that because I'm a parent and grandparent. It's time to get up. Be sure and make your bed. All right. Did you get that? All right. So all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Then in Joppa, there's a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. If you died, what would they say about you? Just ask it. In this case, always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died. Are you ever surprised at those whom the Lord takes? I mean, as a pastor, and I don't want you to be paranoid because as well as I know you, I love you. There's not anybody here I'm wishing would go ahead and go on. Just so you know. I say that because that has not always been the case in every church. I remember certain individuals who it just seemed to me had had their chances. You know? They've been asleep through some of the sermons, but they've been awake for others. And I've talked with them personally. And I know they've heard the gospel. And I think, you know, if they haven't gotten it by now, just go ahead and take them to their reward. I don't say that to my pride. I'm not saying that's a wonderful attitude for a pastor. I'm just being honest, okay? And what I saw over and over as the years went by was that those people seemed to live forever. God kept giving them chance after chance after chance after chance. And there were these other people who were serving God and doing good and exceptionally wonderful, delightful individuals. They even had nice personalities and God took them. Why? I still don't know why. But I'm not in charge of the universe. And so this woman who was known to everyone for being an extraordinarily generous, giving, servant-hearted individual, gets sick and dies. If you haven't already seen that, you will. You'll experience it. People that you care about, people that you love, people you don't want to lose, people who you think are doing a great job, and they are, and the Lord takes them. But he wasn't finished with this one. God brought her back. And we'll look at the details more in a moment. But I want you to see that as with Lazarus, as with the man born blind, the seemingly horrible thing was actually part of God's design for his glory. Lord, who sinned, this man or his father, or his parents? Jesus said, neither. This is for the glory of God. And Jesus healed him. And we're still talking about it today. Lazarus gets sick. They send for Jesus. Jesus could have gotten there. But instead, Jesus always did what the Father told him to do. And so Jesus stayed where he was until Lazarus was dead. And Jesus knew he was dead because the Father told him. And after he's dead, Jesus goes and Sister number one says, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. Sister number two says, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus raised him back to life. Lazarus wouldn't have made the headlines if he hadn't died. Now, as we always say, he's dead again. But I want you to understand, what makes no sense to us, what seems a horrible intrusion on our plans, is all being used by God for the good of those who love him and for his glory. I know it's painful. I know it's frustrating. I know it's sad. But God is using it for good. Every time. How could this be good? It doesn't say it's good. It says he's using it for good. The cross was the ultimate disaster. And even though Jesus had told his disciples that it was going to happen, his disciples didn't believe it because it was too horrible to even think about. And then it happened, just as Jesus said. But it was the only way that we could be saved. So, she's died. They summon him. He comes. Verse 40 and following. Three things about what happened in that room. Number one, he got alone. They're showing him all this stuff. They're talking to him. They're sharing their stories. That's all beautiful. But Peter has something that God wants him to do. And so he doesn't want other people there in the room. He sends everybody out. He got alone with the Lord. If you want to see miracles in your life, one thing you might do is get alone with God. Stop the distractions. Get alone with God. Second thing, he got down on his knees and prayed.
Pastor, I've wondered about that. Is it necessary to get down on our knees when we pray?
No, it's not. Well, why does it say he got down on his knees? Because he did. Well, why do you think he did that? Well, he's probably tired from the long walk there. No. That's the position of humility and supplication. I don't know what posture you pray in. I pray a lot of my prayers walking, standing, sitting. But sometimes when I'm really wanting to make it clear to God that I know he's in charge and I'm not, I just get on my knees before him. Peter got alone. He got on his knees and prayed. And then he obeyed. He said what the Lord told him to say. How do we know the Lord told him to say it? Well, I think if you listen to the first part of the sermon, you heard that. The way that the power of God is manifested is as we act in obedience. If Jesus had taught Peter and the other disciples, I only do what the Father tells me to do. That's why he didn't go to Lazarus before Lazarus died. If Jesus had taught them that, then I am confident that Peter was here acting and speaking in obedience to the Lord. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. Now, literally there, when it says toward the dead woman, if you check it in the King James, they actually got the literal translation. ESV and NASB say the same thing as the King James, because that's what it says in the original. He turned toward the body, and he said, Tabitha, get up. And she opened her eyes, and she saw Peter, and she sat up. She opened her eyes, seeing Peter, she sat up and he took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. And then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. Can you imagine? I can. I've never seen a person experience this. But what I have seen is the consequence when God brings people who are spiritually dead to life. That's what happened as a result of her physical comeback, is that people who were dead in trespasses and sins came to faith in Jesus Christ and they came alive. And that is a miracle that I have watched again and again and again and again. And that's the one that lasts. The purpose, as we said before, of these miracles was the spread of the gospel. So in our day today, when there aren't a lot of things like this going on, at least in our part of the world, how do we provide evidence that the gospel is true? I mean, if the purpose was to provide evidence that the apostolic message was the truth, that Jesus really is the Messiah, that he did conquer death for us, how do we provide that evidence today? The scriptures actually answer that question. You and I are called to live a life of love. Jesus said, that's how people are going to know you're my disciples, is if you love one another. We see that in the book of Acts, where the unbelieving world was astounded by the way that they loved and served each other. We see that in secular records from ancient times, where those who were not part of the believing community were just amazed by the way that the Christians not only took care of each other, but they did all kinds of things for people who were not part of the faith. Amazing. So living a life of love, I would say that that is evidence one. But behind that is an evidence number two. And that is individual testimony. It's by our personal witness. And it is essential that our personal witness have integrity, that we be honest witnesses. That means that we not only talk about what Jesus has done for us and what Jesus is doing in us, but that we don't pretend to be further along in our progress than we are. If we try to make the world think that we've arrived, yes, I haven't. I haven't sinned since, what was it, darling, 1977? I mean, if that's our approach, we're not going to fool anybody. But our job is not to fool people. It's to point them to Jesus. So we can be honest about the fact that we know we're not perfect, but oh, we have a perfect Savior. He is the one who saves, not us. And so we point people to him, and we can tell about, you know, yeah, I still struggle with this, but let me tell you, I used to struggle with this and this and this, and God has really set me free in those areas, and I'm so grateful to him. Just be honest. We're not what we're going to be. We're not what we were. Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful for his grace, because that changes everything.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.